Okay, so we'd like to welcome the devotees who are joining us, Tulsi Sham, Rita Gopinath, Shivagram, Sudharma, and Bhagavat. We have devotees from Europe, and that's about it, just Europe and America. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Gajendra Uvacha. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Etach Chit Atmakam Purushayari Vijaya Pareshaya Bhidhimahi Shigajendra Vacha. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmahi Yata Itach Chidatmakam Purushayari Vijaya Parashaya Vidimahi Shigajendra Vacha. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yatahi Tachidatmakam Purushayari Vijaya Parashaya Vidimahi Shigajendra Vacha. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmahi Yata Itachidatmakam Purushayari Vijaya Apareshaya Vidimahi. Okay. Okay, no one else? Okay, we also like to welcome Draupadi and Naveen Manerelli. Shri Gajendra Vacha. Gajendra Vacha. Gajendra, the king of elements, said, Om, O my Lord, Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tasmai, unto him. Yataha, from whom? Etat, this body and the material manifestation.
This body and the material manifestation.
Chidatmakam is moving due to consciousness. The spirit soul. Purushaya. Under the Supreme Person. Adibijaya. Who is the origin or root cause of everything. Para Ishaya. Who is supreme, transcendental and worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva. Let me meditate upon him. So translation, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of spirit, and he is therefore the root cause of everyone. He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva, and he has entered the heart of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. If you can repeat, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of spirit. And he is therefore the root cause of everyone. He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva. And he has entered the heart of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. So purport by his divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Sorry. In this verse, the words etat chidatmakam are very important. The material body certainly consists only of material elements, but when one awakens to Krishna conscious understanding, the body is no longer material, but spiritual. The material body is meant for sense enjoyment, whereas the spiritual body engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee who engages in the service of the Lord and who constantly thinks of him should never be considered to have a material body. It is therefore enjoined, Gurusho Naramati. One should stop thinking of the spiritual master as an ordinary human being with a material body. Arche Vishnu Shila Dehi. Everyone knows that the deity in the temple is made of stone, but to think that the deity is merely stone is an offense. Similarly, to think that the body of the spiritual master consists of material ingredients is offensive. Atheists think that devotees foolishly worship a stone statue as God and an ordinary man as the guru. The fact is, however, that by the grace of Krishna's omnipotence, the so-called stone statue of the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the body of the spiritual master is directly spiritual. A pure devotee who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service should be understood to be situated on the transcendental platform. Sa gunan samati dvaitan brahma puyaya kalpate. Let us therefore offer our obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose mercy so-called material things also become spiritual when they are engaged in spiritual activity. Omkara pranava is a symbolic sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho Brahmanas Tri Vidasmitaha. The three words Om Tat Sat immediately invoke the Supreme Person. Therefore, Krishna says that he is Omkar in all the Vedic mantras, Pranavasarva Vedeshu. The Vedic mantras are pronounced beginning with Omkara to indicate immediately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, begins with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There's no difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and Omkara Pranava. We should be careful to understand that Omkara does not indicate anything Nirakara or formless. Indeed, this verse immediately says, Om Namo Bhagavate. Bhagavan is a person. Thus, Omkara is the representation of the Supreme Person. Omkara is not meant to be impersonal, as the Mayavadi philosophers consider it to be. This is distinctly expressed here by the word Purushaya. The Supreme Truth addressed by Omkara is Purusha, the Supreme Person. He is not impersonal. Unless he is a person, how can he control the great stalwart controllers of this universe? Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva are the supreme controllers of this universe, but Lord Vishnu is offered obeisances even by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Therefore, this verse uses the word Parashaya, which indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by exalted demigods. Parashaya means Parameshvara. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are Ishvara's great controllers, but Lord Vishnu is Parameshvara, the supreme controller. So, Shri Gajendravacha Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yatai Tatshiratmakam Purushaya Divijaya Pareshaya Vidhimahi. So, Om Ganat Simrandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, many topics here. So, first we'll talk about Om. Actually, this word Om, sometimes devotees, they criticize those who chant Om. They say this is impersonal. And as Prabhupada said here in the purport, Om is anything but impersonal. And actually the analysis of Om is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also the Acharyas, that Om, actually it's not even pronounced Om, it's Om, like that, it's A-U-M. And Om, and you see the Om here, let's see, that Om, so let's go back to the verse here. Wrong verse, text 2. So anyway, so the Om has a dot over the end. So that's that means it's pronounced in a nasal way. It's like sometimes in Spanish you have that nasal sound. In English you don't have that nasal sound generally, unless you're from New York. Then you pronounce things with a nasal thing, like that. So Om, and actually it's A-U-M. And A-U-M refers to Radha and Krishna and the living entities, which is actually basically the same thing as the Maha Mantra. Maha Mantra has three words, and there's Radha and Krishna, obviously, and Hare referring to Srimati Radharani, O energy of the Lord. It's also in the calling out for Radharani. And then Krishna. Krishna is, of course, God. Rama is, of course, Radha, Ramana, Hari. Also, Radha, Rama is Lord Ram, and also Rama is Balaram. There's no difference between the three of them. So, anyway, you have implicit in the Maha Mantra the living entity, because it is basically a prayer to be engaged, for the living entity to be engaged in Krishna's service. So you, Hare Krishna means my dear energy of the Lord, because as we mentioned before, the Hare is vocative. Vocative means to cry out. Krishna is also vocative. So, oh, energy of the Lord, please engage me in Krishna's service. So you got both, all three things there. You got Radha and Krishna and the living entity. So anyway, so an om is Radha and Krishna and the living entity. So it's a different way of chanting Hare Krishna. It's not recommended that we chant 16 rounds of om on the beads, although that would take a shorter time than chanting the whole mantra, but just om, 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 and that's one round or something like that. But however, it is the same thing. So, Krishna is represented, pranava. Pranava, that's one of the main mantras in the Vedic literatures. And of course, the Mayavadis, they take several mantras as their main mantras in the Vedic literatures. Om is one of them, another one is Tatvamasi. And they take all these mantras in the wrong way, understanding them to be impersonal, or they take Tatvamasi to indicate that we are God, rather than we are of the same nature as God. Anyway, so that's the statement about Om. Now, the other words used here in the verse by Gajendra are actually secondary names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we understand from the descriptions of the Acharyas that there are primary names and secondary names of Krishna. Primary names are names that indicate Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's personality, or relationship with Krishna's devotees. These are the primary names, like Govinda, Gopal, Nandanandana, Rajendranandana, even names in relationship to Krishna killing the demons, like Keshanishudana. These are all primary names. And secondary names are like Paramatma, Bhagavan, or even in English we have secondary names like God, Supreme Controller. These are all names of God, or Yahweh, Jehovah, secondary names of God. And of course, one can chant the secondary names of God. However, they don't have the same potency as the primary names of God. They would not connect you with Krishna in the same way. And as far as the primary names of God, depending on which primary name of God you chant, you're connected to Krishna in a particular relationship, which is really nice. Like if you chant Nrisimha Bhagavan, that's a primary name because it refers to a particular pastime, a particular aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then you're connected to Lord Nrisimhadev. For example, or if you chant Ram, but for example, you have the pastime between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Murari Gupta, and also between Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami and Anupama. And in both cases, in the case of Anupama and also in the case of Murari Gupta, they were chanting the name of Ram. And they were very attached to chanting the name of Ram. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the case of Murari Gupta, and Rupa and Sanatana, in the case of Anupama, their brother, attempted to dissuade these personalities from chanting Ram too much. Although in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Rama is Radha Ramana Hari. But we have a Murari Gupta and Anupama referring to Lord Ram. So they wanted to bring them to a different platform of devotional service. Sometimes, you know, you could say higher platform, but actually all the different forms of the Lord are the same. In other words, the same person, just different types of manifestation, different forms of the Lord. So they were attempting to bring Anupama and Murari Gupta to the point of chanting Hare Krishna and worshipping Radha and Krishna. And Murari Gupta and Anupama weren't able to do that. They actually just started basically having some sort of traumatic reaction. They stayed awake all night long, crying, trying to change their Ishtadevata from one person to another, and they weren't able to do that. And Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Rupa Goswami were actually very pleased with that sort of response, because these devotees were dedicated to their particular Ishtadevata, their master, which is actually quite nice. That loyalty. You know, loyalty, I was thinking about this, like loyalty is actually the first sign of love. You know, what we think of as love in the material world, I was actually thinking of this in relationship to, you know, the material sex life. What people take as love with this material sex life has nothing to do with love. Because it's just the question of, like, trying to get some enjoyment out of the other person. And love means that, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in the Shikshashtika, that Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, you may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, you're completely free to do anything and everything and remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. I mean, that's really love, or as described by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Yavi Lashita Shinyam Jnana Karmana Avratam Anukulyena Krishna Shilanam Bhakti Ritamam. Anyway, so love begins with loyalty. You know, you stick with your Ishtadevata, you stick with your worshipful deity, and you stick, of course, with the Vaishnavas and with Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, no matter what. That's actually love. Anyway, otherwise, it's at best infatuation, or at worst, exploitation. You know, there's actually a whole spectrum, all the way from love to exploitation, and infatuation is somewhere in the middle of those two. So therefore, devotees are attracted or attached to different names of Krishna. You know, Rama, Narsingha, just like I was reading one Bhaktivedanta article about one devotee was very, very attracted to going to a Hovalam. You know, he's just like an Ashunabhak. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So we should encourage people to chant the name of God. And also people in different religions. It's not that we're going to force everyone to chant Hare Krishna. We're going to encourage people to chant whatever name of God that they feel comfortable with. Whether it's Jehovah, whether it's indirect or a secondary name of God or a primary name of God. So here in this verse, Gajendra is using basically secondary names of God. And he is praying, he is actually praying to become free from this difficulty, and Krishna puts us in difficulties so that we pray in the same way. Another point here, which Prabhupada talks about quite extensively in the beginning of the purport, is the transformation that occurs when we engage in devotional service. So, of course, we have these eightfold material elements which comprise the body, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So these elements, obviously, these elements don't become eternal. So there's actually quite a bit of difference, or there's a difference between spiritualizing something and making it eternal. So you can spiritualize your body, or a pure devotee's body is completely spiritual because it's 100% engaged in Krishna's service, but you can't make it eternal. There's a little bit of difference, a lot of difference between that. So just like we're spiritualizing this microphone by using it in Krishna's service, or spiritualizing the computers, by broadcasting the class on the internet. But that does not mean that the computer will exist eternally. So one should draw that distinction between spiritualization, and of course even the spiritual master's body, it's not his eternal body. It's not that Prabhupada looks like that eternally in the spiritual world, and next life, you know, next pastime on this world. This is a temporary manifestation of spirit. not a permanent manifestation. Spirit, whereas Krishna's body in the spiritual world is a permanent manifestation, the devotees' spiritual bodies and their particular relationship with Krishna is a permanent manifestation, and the spiritual world is a permanent manifestation. But still, it's spiritual, the body of the pure devotee, and the deity is spiritual too. At the same time, Krishna can leave. You know, we know that the deity, as Prabhupada mentions, is made of marble. But if you see the deity as being marble, you're an atheist. But the deity is made of marble. But if offenses are committed to the deity, then the deity can go away. And then you're just left with marble again. And Prabhupada indicated that. I was with Prabhupada one time. Several times, actually. And Prabhupada was sitting in his room in Mayapur. And the devotees, actually was Lokanath Maharaj's party, the Padyatra. They had just gone to visit some temples in different places, and they had gone to visit one of Prabhupada's godbrother's temples. And the devotees were relating how they weren't treated so well. They were actually charged to sleep outside. And the devotees were saying they charge him so many rupees actually to sleep out, not even a covered place, just to sleep outside. And of course, in India, it's not so cold, so it's not as big a problem as if we had to sleep outside here in North Carolina. Although in the beginning days in North Carolina, I did sleep outside when it was colder than this. So, anyway, the devotees were relating to Srila Prabhupada how they slept outside, had to pay, I think it was only 1 rupee at that time, a person. In those days, a rupee was worth a lot more. When I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, there were 8 rupees per dollar. And now there's something like 67 rupees per dollar. So there's been wild inflation. You know, the value of money has gone down in India. So anyway, so they were sitting with Prabhupada, and it was a darshan at night, right before the Sundararti. And Prabhupada was hearing their story. And then the devotees said to Prabhupada, we went to see the deity. And Prabhupada said, there's no deity in that temple. And devotees, they said to Prabhupada, you know, they didn't argue, but they were just like thinking Prabhupada didn't quite understand. They said, no, Prabhupada, we saw the deity. The deity was there. And Prabhupada said to them, you heard what I said. There's no deity. And the devotees are saying, we're just confused. You know, there's no deity. What did we see? And anyway, it went back and forth maybe 2 or 3 times. And then Prabhupada said, reciting a Bengali statement that was given by his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, maybe it's a typical Bengali statement. He said, they're using the Shalagram Shila to crack nuts with. Now, just to picture that in one's mind, that someone would take a Shalagram Shila. Shalagram Shila is non-different from the Lord, Lord Vishnu, or various incarnations of the Lord. And you're just, you know, using the deity to crack nuts. So in other words, Prabhupada indicated the deity left. Wow. I mean, that's quite a heavy statement. The deity left because there were offenses being made. Or, basically, the devotees were not, let's say, understanding the principles of being a second-class devotee. Second-class devotee means that to respect the Vaishnavas, and if a Vaishnava comes, you're supposed to just even stop the deity worship if there's no one else to take care of the Vaishnava. I mean, another time there was a story where Prabhupada and his devotees visited a temple. Prabhupada was there. And the pujari just kept doing the worship of the deities, and no one received Prabhupada. And Prabhupada indicated this is a sign of third-class devotional service, Kanishtadhikari. So the point being that, according to Lord Kapiladeva, when one does not properly respect the Vaishnavas and worships the deities, then it's like offering oblations to ashes. which basically means it's useless. Krishna doesn't accept. Because as we know, according to Lord Shiva, that better than worship of Vishnu, better than worship of Krishna is worship of Krishna's devotees. So this is very important to understand our priorities. In any case, I was just making an example or giving a story that illustrated the point that we can transform matter to spirit, but you can also transform that same thing back if it's not used properly. For example, another example in my own experience is that sometimes in the past we would rent an apartment or rent a house for a temple, and we would spiritualize it. But then, after we would leave that place, you can actually feel the modes of nature coming back and engulfing the atmosphere in that particular place. So it's not that something becomes eternal. In other words, not by performing devotional service in your body, you're going to be like this forever and ever and ever, or you're not going to get sick, or you're not going to get old, or any of these things like this. It is going to happen. So this is the principle, getting back to the main point, the principle is yukta vairagya. And of course there's this famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which the Brahma Kumaris are very happy to recite all the time. Brahmarpanam brahmahavya brahmagno brahmana uttam brahmatena gantavyam brahma karma sumadina. I'm sure you all know that verse. The Brahma Kumaris chant it like one of their main mantras, which means when you make an offering or you engage something in the service of Brahman, in the service of Krishna, that offering becomes spiritualized, the person making the offering becomes spiritualized, the results of the offering become spiritualized, and everything becomes Brahman. And in that particular verse, the metaphor is given of offering ghee into the fire. Because havir, or havi, means butter or ghee. So when the butter is offered into the fire, then the butter becomes spiritualized and the whole fire becomes spiritualized. And even as Srila Prabhupada indicated one time, although I have not realized this yet, I have to be honest, that the smoke becomes spiritualized. That even, you know, Prabhupada sometimes would keep the windows closed when he was doing a fire sacrifice and all the smoke would be there. And Prabhupada said, "This smoke is purified." And I said, as I said, that's not the extent of my realization right now. I open up the windows. But in any case, it's spiritual if we engage things in Krishna's service. So this temple is spiritualized, even though it's composed of the wood and marble or wires or whatever it is, then everything in this temple becomes spiritualized, and we have to respect it like that. That's why cleaning the floor of the temple is the same as dressing the deities, is a spiritual activity, because you're basically understanding that the temple is a manifestation of Baladev. So, anyway, so this is some of the points here, and also Prabhupada makes the point about the body of the spiritual master, like we worship pictures of Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada's body is completely spiritual, although it's not his eternal body. Anyway, so any questions or comments about any of these points? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? Yeah.
The purport refers to seeing the deity and seeing the spiritual master. And you're referring to seeing the devotees as spirit.
Right? Yeah.
Even though the eyes see matter.
Yeah.
And material behavior still... Isn't that the actual concept of respect, is seeing deeper than what the eyes see?
But even when we see someone who's not engaged in Krishna consciousness or not engaged in spiritual life, we should see the spirit too. It's not that we shouldn't be stupid and think that someone has a spiritual body just because they happen to be handsome or beautiful or something like that. Like sometimes people worship, like the other day I mentioned this, Akshay Kumar, and all the ladies in the room went, you know, they sort of started breathing like deeper or something. I went, I noticed that. It was like that. So it's not that we should see the material body as spiritual with someone who's not Krishna conscious. But we should see the spirit soul acting underneath. So it's just like when you see a light with a filter on it, you should understand there's a light underneath. And the filter, of course the filter may be useful for making different colors. So in the same way, our consciousness, or the living entity's consciousness, is covered by different degrees or different colors of filters. Just like the modes of nature also are equivalent to different colors. Like the mode of goodness is like yellow. That's why I like yellow so much. Not white, yellow. That's a mode of goodness. And passion is red. It's interesting. Ignorance is sometimes described as blue. It's interesting, isn't it? Even though Krishna's blue. But it's not Krishna's blue spiritual color, not a material color. So you have the three modes of nature that are covering the living entity and causing the original pure consciousness to be reflected in a certain way, or to be manifest in a certain way. So we should understand that there is a spirit soul, a pure spirit soul underneath. So when we see anyone, we should actually be looking and seeing the spirit soul, or understanding the spirit soul is there. And with a devotee, we should... I mean, it's not that we say that every devotee has a spiritual body. It depends on whether they're fully... Like that verse in the Bhagavad Gita that I recited, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmatmo Brahmano Tam. One makes a full contribution to Brahman. That's how Prabhupada translated it. That means 100% engaged in Krishna's service, the body becomes spiritualized, completely spiritualized. However, a devotee being humble does not think that my body has become spiritualized. You know, if I thought my body had become spiritualized, I'd simply be looking in the mirror all day long. You don't worship yourself or think your own body has become spiritualized, but as far as a devotee fully engaged in devotional service, their body is considered to be spiritualized. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking in relationship to loyalty and one's spiritual growth. First, I've seen that everyone has a different nature. Like for instance, in Manashram, you have those that are like kshatriyas. So even in Krishna consciousness, you'll even have people that are like more inclined towards, you know, being active or tend to be more political.
Yeah.
Others that tend to be more withdrawn. So it seems that one has to discriminate what's, even in relationship to loyalty, what's favorable ultimately for devotional.
Yeah, loyalty doesn't mean blind following. It means we don't reject. That I mean, we stick by someone's side.
And we're respectful, but at the same time, we have to be
practical.
Practical.
Yeah, I mean, loyalty doesn't mean that we, you know, we just like become like a clone. You know, everybody has their own nature. I mean, if I thought loyalty would mean that I'd be a clone of Prabhupada, I'd just start imitating Prabhupada's different mannerisms and things like that. And that's not loyalty. Loyalty means service. We stick with someone. It's like, you know, there's a husband and wife, and the wife sticks with the husband sticks with the wife, but they have different natures and different interests in life. But they're both serving the family. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.